I've been asked to remind you that following the service, the deacons are going to present the decision to sell the parsonage, and you're going to be asked to affirm that or not. I'd also like to remind you to please continue to uphold Marge. Her ulcer is bigger, but the doctor says it's better. So you make of that what you wish. Let's stand for the call to worship. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
Thank you.
I give thee the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let us pray. Our Father and God, we come to you through the shed blood of your Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Spirit that we call you Father. And it's because of the shed blood of Christ that we are welcome into your presence, because we have his righteousness and he has taken our sin upon himself. So as we come before you, we acknowledge that as we meditate upon this portion of your word, that you call us to love you with all of our being, with such that we love you, that we would be willing to serve you, that we would be willing to live our lives in such that we exalt you in all that we do and say, and that we understand that we are called to be your ambassadors. And in so doing that, Father, we will learn to love one another and to love even those who oppress us. For you did love us with an everlasting love, and Jesus Christ bore our sin upon the cross because he loved us. And in dying on the cross, he also absorbed the wrath of God for us, that we might be beneficiaries of your love, mercy, and grace. So we ask, Lord, as we meditate upon this, that we ourselves would understand that we are called to be those who would be willing to be defrauded, that we would be willing to be persecuted, that we would be willing to even die, that we might express our love for you. We ask that you would work in us, that this would be who we are. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Reading from 1 John, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us."
Thank you.
us pray. Our Father and God, we come again into your throne of grace. We thank you that you are merciful to us, that you do not regard us according to our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquity, but that you see us in Christ. And we know that there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. So as we come, we also come as the priests, the kingdom of priests that you have made us. And we have the privilege of interceding for those with whom we converse. We have the privilege of interceding for those of whom we hear and we read of, those who make decisions that affect nations and the world. And we know, Father, that you are the one who sustains all men. So we ask in particular that you would be with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world who have the same responsibilities that we do to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to love you with their whole heart, mind, and soul. We ask in particular for those who are under persecution, that they will understand that indeed they have life in Christ, and that their life is bound up in him who in his own being he is the resurrection and the life. And we ask that they would be your faithful servants, and they would know that as long as they are here upon earth, that their privilege is to serve you and to serve you with gladness. And if they depart this life, that they are in your presence. So we ask that you would especially be with those who are faithful in proclaiming your word to the people of God, that your faithful ministers might equip your people to be evangelists and servants and administrators and teachers of the truth. We thank you for the privilege that you give us to serve you in this particular country. So far, Father, we are privileged to gather together weekly without being harassed, without being molested, and without being threatened. We thank you and praise you for this privilege that you give to us. We ask that we would not take it lightly, but that we would take it soberly, and that we would pray for those in authority over us. We know, Father, that there are many who are in authority over us who blaspheme your name and who have no time for you, that they themselves have set themselves up as little gods. So, Father, we ask that you might stay their hand of evil, and that we who are your people might pray for them, and that we would learn to bless them who hate us, and that we would be those who would seek to confront the evil, and that we would be faithful in declaring your truth. We ask that for those people that we come in contact with, that they would know that we are your disciples, that they would know that we are your disciples because we have love one for the other, and that we are merciful and gracious to them. We thank you that we look forward to the soon return of our King. We ask that we might be faithful in looking for his return and praying for his return, and that we would be those who would say, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." We pray these things in his name. Amen. Let's stand to sing, "He Lives." Thank you. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, we stopped at the bottom of John chapter 10, and now we're going to resume our journey through the Gospel of John, and we're going to begin with John chapter 11. And John 11, 20 through 27 is our text for this morning. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Once again, Father, we come to you and we ask that you may illumine our minds by the light of your word and take captive our hearts by the power of your love. In Christ's name, amen. The question that Jesus asks, "Do you believe this?" is the question that you need to answer. I need to answer. Every man, woman, and child needs to answer. Do you believe this? And obviously the most important thing to that question is, what is the antecedent of this? Once we understand what the this is, then we can determine whether we believe it or not. This chapter begins with Lazarus being ill. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, sent for Jesus to come because they understood that Jesus was able and willing to heal. So they sent for Jesus. And Jesus has an interesting response. He says that the sickness is not unto death, but for God's glory. Jesus has a way of suggesting to his hearers that we don't know everything that we think we do. And this man is sick, and Jesus is telling him it's not unto death. So the expectation would be that he would not die. That would be the expectation. But then Jesus does something else. And if you read the text, you'll see that because he loved Mary and Martha, he stayed for two more days. He didn't go immediately to address the problem. He stayed where he was for two more days. And where he was, according to John chapter 10, was down on the eastern side of the Jordan, where John the Baptist baptized. So Jesus stays two more days, and then he says, "Let's go to Judea." Now the disciples remember that Jesus left Judea because he was a target to be killed. And they remind him that this is what is. And then Jesus speaks about their 12 hours in a day, and if you're in daylight, you're with the light of the world. He turns again to some spiritual apprehension. They are with the light of the world. Jesus Christ had already said, "I am the light of the world." And he was turning their attention from the immediate visible, tactile thing that they saw to something that they needed to apprehend by faith. They were with the light of the world. That's who he was. And then Jesus goes on and he tells that he's going to wake his friend as though he's sleeping. And that's exactly what the disciples conclude. If you're going to wake him, he's sleeping, he's doing okay. So Jesus has to clearly state that Lazarus is dead and that Jesus is going to Lazarus. And then Thomas doesn't comprehend what's going on. And Thomas then says, well, we'll go die with him. Thomas always, in my opinion, gets the short shrift because we call him Doubting Thomas. Here you might say that he's devoted Thomas, that he's devoted to going with Christ to Judea, and we're going to go to Lazarus, who is dead, and that's going to be where we go. He's devoted. So they go. So we have the situation. After all of this preliminary, Jesus finally arrives, and Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Now, this is important. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have told us, but I'll tell you why it's important. Lazarus is the only resurrection in the New Testament where the Jews would have said that he was dead. The Jews had this idea that the soul hung around the body for 3 days. And so when the daughter of Jairus was raised from the dead, she was still on her deathbed. And when the widow's son was being carried to the grave, he too had not been dead 3 days. But it was important to understand that being dead for 3 days in the Jewish mind meant that you were dead. Whereas if you were dead less than 3 days, maybe you weren't. So it's important that we are told that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Mary and Martha were surrounded by mourners. And Martha greets Jesus. Now notice the limited confidence that she has in Jesus. She says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." This was a statement of confidence in the ability of Jesus to heal the sick. It was a rebuke because Jesus hung around for 2 more days. And it was not hopeful. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." She and Mary had sent messengers to Jesus with the full expectation that Jesus would come and heal their brother. And then she says something that she acknowledges his relationship to God, but she doesn't fully understand what she's saying, and she doesn't fully comprehend what Jesus is able to do. "Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." That seems to be a very confident message expressing faith. But again, it's limited. And you see that it's limited when she responds to Jesus' response. Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." Every Jew understood that there was going to be a resurrection. And Martha says this, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Job had that expectation. Job is the one who said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the last day. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God. Job had the same expectation as Martha. Same one. They understood that at the last day, the dead would rise and stand before God. And Jesus does something that is unexpected. The first thing he does is he redirects her thinking from God to himself. He is the resurrection and the last day. And the second thing he does is that the resurrection is not simply a power for the future, it's for the present. The resurrection is not an event, it is a person. And it's not just for the future, it's for the here and the now. Jesus is what men need. Jesus is all that men need. And this is consistent with all the other statements that he has said in the Gospel of John. He has said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And in John 14, he's going to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 15, he's going to say, I am the true vine. Here, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me shall never die. The first, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, can be rendered the one believing in me, not even if he should die, will live. Life, then, that he is speaking of is different than the life that we call life now. Life for the one who believes in Jesus Christ is a continuum. When you become a child of God by faith in Christ, you now have eternal life. It is a present possession. When you believe in Jesus Christ and you come to him by faith, you now are taken out of darkness and put into his marvelous light. You are transformed from death to life. One of the hardest things for us to understand as Christians is to understand that everyone who is not a Christian is dead. Everyone. Everyone who is not born of the Spirit of God is dead. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And Jesus is telling us that he is life. He is not only life, but he is the resurrection. If you are dead in trespasses and sins, then you must be raised from the dead and transformed from deadness to life. And Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. I am the life. So often what we do is we talk about the resurrection as an event. We talk about it as something that will happen. And Jesus is saying, it's not an event, it is a person, it is me. I am the resurrection. Therefore, if I was dead in trespasses and sins, and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am alive in Him. And therefore, when I pass from this life, I still live, because I am in Christ. Jesus goes on and he says that he that believeth in me, everyone living and believing in me, by no means dies. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are living in Him. And because you are living and believing in Him, you will never die. We have something that we need to understand here. The person is more than a body. The person is housed in a body. But the person who does not believe in Jesus Christ is dead. The person who does believe in Jesus Christ is alive, because in Jesus is life. In John chapter 5, Jesus spoke of this business of Him being the life, and He said that at some point the dead will hear God's voice, and those who hear will live. He is speaking of those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And as Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice, and they will follow me. And the dead will hear the voice of God, and then they will follow Christ. And in John chapter 5, Jesus also said, the Son has life in Himself. And then there's going to come a time when Jesus universalizes it and He says, all in the tombs will hear and come forth. There will be a general resurrection. Notice, the general resurrection is of those who are dead as well as those who are alive. The dead will be raised only to die again. Those who are in the grave and alive in Christ will be raised to be with Christ forever. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive on the earth who are belong to Christ will rise, and they'll all gather together in the air. Jesus is identifying Himself as life, and as the one who in Himself raises the dead, the resurrection. Following this statement, Jesus then actually raises Lazarus from the dead. And this raising of Lazarus from the dead is the demonstration that in Himself He is the resurrection and the life. May I remind you that when He went to the grave, He went to Lazarus's grave. And He called Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. How many other people in that graveyard were named Lazarus? Don't know. I have no idea. Maybe none. maybe a lot, but he was only speaking to one. Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. This is a demonstration to all of those who were there that indeed he was the resurrection and the life. And if you follow the rest of the chapter, you'll see that this aroused fear and anxiety among the rulers. The raising of Jairus' daughter didn't do that. The raising of the widow's son didn't do that. They were not dead in the tomb for 4 days. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. From the Jewish perspective, he was dead. There are consequences to this, and there are consequences for us. Depending on how you answer that question, do you believe this? What is the antecedent of the this? That Jesus the Christ is the resurrection and the life. You see, when Jesus asked the question of Martha, she didn't answer the question. He said, "Do you believe this?" And she answered a different question. What did she say? "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." That wasn't the question. The question is, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? She confessed that she believed that Jesus was the Messiah. She confessed that she believed that he was the Son of God. But it was a stretch for her to say, "Yes, I believe that you are the resurrection and the life." As I say, there are consequences to believing this. And the consequences are that you are now a member of a body that never dies. And you should live in a manner which demonstrates that you are a member of that body. I didn't understand this. I understand it better now because when I was in Europe twice, once on one trip when I was in Europe, a young man from the community came up to me and he said, "The group you're with, you're all Americans, aren't you?" And I go, "Oh, well, yeah, how'd you know?" And he said, "Because of the trash you generate. You Americans always carry packaged goods. Here in Germany, we don't package anything." I said, "Oh." The second time that it happened to me, somebody came up to me when I was in Europe and said, "You're an American." I go, "Yeah, how'd you know?" "You walk like one." I go, "How does an American walk?" You see, I was picked out as an American. Now my question is, can people pick you out as a Christian? That's the question. Because this, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection of life, means that you are in the bundle of life. And because you are in the bundle of life, you are alive. Remember, all of those who are not children of God, who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, they are dead. You, if you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, are alive. and you are alive for eternity. So the question is, do you demonstrate that? Do you have the characteristics of one who's alive? Paul puts it one way. He says in Corinthians that we're to smell of Christ. We have the fragrance of Christ. Do you have the fragrance of Christ? Do I? It's put another way. We have a completely different view of things as those who are alive. For instance, what do? When somebody takes from us and steals our property, we rejoice. Remember, the writer of the Hebrews said to the Hebrews, to his audience, that they rejoiced because why? They knew they had a better situation in heaven. All of this is but fuel for the fire. And if you live and you are one who believes that Jesus is the Christ and he's the resurrection of the dead, you understand that this is fuel for the fire. You understand that. And you, as Jesus said to his disciples, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we come back to the question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? It's not an event. It's a person. It's not for the future. It's for the present. Do you believe this? Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you that you give us the indwelling Spirit whereby we call you Father. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the one who has called us out of darkness and put us into his marvelous light. We thank you that we who are your servants, are your children by faith, are those who are alive. And we ask that we might live, within the framework and the expectation of the new heaven and new earth, knowing that this earth will be destroyed, and that we who are alive in Christ are no longer under your wrath, but that we are those who are pilgrims and sojourners, that we are those who are citizens of that new heaven and new earth. We ask that this would be our thought, our focus, and our meditation. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to sing, Jesus Lives, and So Shall I. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.